strong in the Lord.
Thanks, Deacon Tony. And yeah, we just sang about Jesus is the reason that we live, right? And Jesus is the reason we're here today, right? In this church, in this building. That's the only reason why we're here today, right? And you know, as Deacon Tony was praying, I was thinking about, you know, it's great that we, in our church, the one place in the world that really different ethnic groups can come together is the Church of Christ, because the Holy Spirit can bind us together, right? Without Christ, man, you see all these racial problems, people being tribal and wanting to identify with their flesh, and that's not good, right? And that's not how God created us to be, but I'm glad the church is a place where we can reach out to others, and we see different kinds. It's mostly a Chinese church, and I've kind of morphed into being a Chinese, right? Been here long enough, but we have different kind of ethnic groups here, and it's wonderful. So praise the Lord. Hey, let's get up. Let's say hi to somebody. Say hi to someone you haven't met before. Why don't you greet each other in the name of the Lord, all right? Daughter's here? The daughter?
Yeah.
It's good, it's good. All right. Okay. All right. Hey, all right. But it looks like nighttime out. Looks like we're having an evening service. So dark outside. It's strange for a Sunday morning, right? And we need the rain, though. Although it's been a week, so a week in Florida is a long time, so we need the rain, right? So here we are. Okay, Ephesians, all right, chapter 6. Boy, we're almost done with the book, all right? We're getting near the end, and when did I start this? Late spring, somewhere around there, but we're almost done, and we're trucking through, and of course, last week we just finished up that section, end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6, where it talks about how to live out our lives practically as new believers in Christ, as in society, in our homes. How are we supposed to live out our lives in the world? Because here Paul sets up in Ephesians that we've been saved into a brand new family. We are the family of God, so we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And in a real literal sense, is that Christians are closer than physical flesh, because the Holy Spirit is what unites us, which is greater than flesh. Right now, hopefully, your physical, material brother and sister, mom and dad, children are believers as well. That would be awesome. But that we are the true family that will last for eternity. And God is our Heavenly Father, right? And He's brought us. We were alienated. We were sort of neglected children of our own choosing. We were lost away from our Father, our Heavenly Father. And He came and sent Jesus to die for our sins, to cover us with His righteousness through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to give us new life. That brings us back into a right relationship with a holy God. We can't be with God because we're sinners, but Jesus had no sin and gave us His righteousness so that we could be in His presence. And so we are a new family of God. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a Heavenly Father. The firstborn brother is Jesus Himself, who is our example, who is our Savior. And we're one family in Christ, right? And then Paul talks about how does this work out in life. And of course, now we've looked at how does this work out in marriage? How does this work out with parents and children? How does this work out with employer-employee relationships? We talked about that last week. And so Paul's going to kind of sum up what we need to remember here in Ephesians chapter 6. He's going to sum up for us sort of what he wants his last word to be to us. And it's a wonderful thing, right? It's a wonderful thing that we're in a new family, that we've been saved, that God's given us His Holy Spirit. He's one with us. He lives inside of us. God has forgiven us all our sins. But we still live in this world, right? We still, as Deacon Tony prayed about, we still see horrible sin all around us. We still, even as Christians, have our own sin flaring up inside of us, right? Wanting to kick back at our new life. But through the Spirit, we can say no to that sin now. We see problems all around, but Jesus is coming back one day. But in the meantime, before He comes back, we're sort of in a spiritual warfare, and that's what Deacon Tony read from Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. So it's a wonderful thing that we're in this new family. We've been saved for eternity. However, we're not there yet. We haven't met Jesus yet. Even though we're Our sins are forgiven. We're saved. Eternity is set for us. But in the meantime, life is a struggle. And Paul is going to say, you know, this is no cakewalk. You're in a new family. Let's rejoice. But this is a daily struggle. It's a good struggle. It's a good spiritual fight, but it's a struggle nonetheless. And so let's look at verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, he says, finally, at the end of all what he said, all the encouragement, all the rejoicing in Christ, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord, not in us, because on our own, we can't fight very well our own sin. In fact, without Christ, we don't even want to fight our sin ultimately. It just overcomes us. We just love our sin. That's the lot of us. Those of us who've been saved and come out of our old lives, we know that's true. We just love our sin, you know? It's just part of us. We're rebels. But with Christ, we can actually stand strong against our sin. And how does that happen? He gives us himself, the Holy Spirit. I don't know. We don't see the Holy Spirit working inside of us, but we know he's there, and we know he's energizing us. When we think thoughts that are Christ-like thoughts, when we think of loving God and worshiping him and praising him, that's only because the Holy Spirit is giving us the ability to do that. Now, how that actually, I don't hear a voice inside of me telling me that, but that's the truth because that's what God tells us. The Holy Spirit is allowing me to call out, and all of you believe in Christ, we're allowed to call out, God is my Father, I love him, Jesus is my Savior. Only those with the Holy Spirit can do that because he's giving us the ability to do that. We can't do that on our own. And so the strength to live for God in this present darkness is through the Holy Spirit. We have to be strong in God. God will help us. And in fact, Jesus says this, the apostles say this, when we pray, we seek for God's wisdom and strength, and he loves to give it to his children. Now, he'll test us to make us more like Christ. He'll use tribulation to show his glory and through the tough times, but he will never leave us, and he will strengthen us if we seek him to stand for him in this world. And so we've seen this great fact that we're in a family, but it's a struggle that we're going to have to wake up to every day, a glorious, joyful struggle in the Lord because Jesus has already won the victory. So it's not like, oh, I don't know if we're going to win this life. I don't know if I'm going to see God's rule. I don't know if I'm going to make it to God. I don't know if maybe sin and evil will take over. It won't. And that's the good news. God will right all wrongs. He will bring justice in the end, and he will save his church. He will definitely do that. He's promised that, and we've seen his promises fulfilled throughout time, and he will definitely fulfill it in the future. God will fulfill his promises. And then the proof of that is, of course, Jesus Christ has been resurrected. The fact that his own son was brought back to life from death, a perfect man, shows us this power of God. Death cannot stop his church. And so we have to be strong. This resurrection power is now working in us. We have to be strong in the Lord. And you know, the first thing to realize here as we think about, you know, living a Christian life in our homes, in society, first of all, we got to own the fact that there will be struggle. I think Satan will want us to think there won't be a struggle. Like, you know, the Christian life is just health, wealth, right? If I believe in Jesus, man, all my diseases will be gone. If I just believe in Jesus, I'll just have money dropping from the sky. That is such a bad teaching. And there's Christian pastors who teach that. That's not even found anywhere in the Bible. In fact, Jesus says, if you follow me, the world will hate you because the world is against me. So the church will struggle, but it's a good struggle. If you die or if you're persecuted, but you have your faith in Christ, that's better than being healed and having no Christ, right? In fact, the people who teach that and say, if Jesus Christ, believe in God, he'll save you from your diseases. Those people who teach that, it's funny, they usually all die. You know, it's like, you know, if just name it, claim it. Claim God's power over your cancer. Well, God may heal your cancer. He may not. If he doesn't heal your cancer, does it mean he doesn't love you? No. In fact, he may want to bring you home early. In fact, he may want to bring more people to Christ through your suffering and death for his glory. You know, think of all the martyrs who've died for Jesus, right? You know, according to the health wealth teachers, that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't lose your life. It's a pernicious teaching that's all over what they call Christianity, right? But it's wrong. But it's a good fight because we want to live for God's glory and we want to see people come to Christ rescued out of their sin, rescued out of death. And do we have a heart for the lost? Not just being strong in our own walk with God, which is important, but I want to see others come to Christ. I want to see the church grow. I want to see those outside in society. I want to see neo-Nazis come to Christ, you know? At first, you know, I get really angry. I'm like, I read the TV, the news, and I'm like, oh, I'm so angry at these people. They're so hateful. What's wrong with them? And that's true. That's a true natural feeling we should all have. It's hatred. But then I turn it over and say, you know what? Except for the grace of God, I might be a Nazi. And if you can't admit that to yourself, you don't understand your own sin, and you don't understand who God is. Because we're capable of all kinds of heinous sin without the grace of Christ. We are capable, if not Nazi, you might be a hater of your wife or your husband, right? There's sin breaking out all over. Except for the grace of God, I might be one of those kind of people. And some of you maybe have grown through that or still struggling with that. But Jesus Christ says, hey, we're one family in the church. There's neither Jew nor Greek, you know, slave or free. We're all one in Jesus Christ. We're all one, image bearers of God. And so we be strong, not only for ourselves, but for the world, for them to know Christ. Be strong. Ask God for strength. Look at Joshua 1:9. Let's go back to the Old Testament, right? When Joshua, the commander of Israel's armies, was about ready to take the promised land, right? It was a scary thing. They had giants in the land, right? There'd be giants there, you know? Big guys, right? And they were scared. They were naturally scared. But God says, have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. And that's true for the church, for all of us. Don't be frightened. Man, I don't even want to go walk outside my door. There's protest. I found a couple snakes in my yard this week. True, that's true. I don't even walk out my door. It's so scary out there, right? Haven't I commanded you, you know? Of course, then you realize, you know, inside of your house is killing you too. There's mold coming out of the AC, and there's those granite countertops are giving off a gas or something, you know. We're not safe anywhere, so don't kid yourself, right? All right. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. God is with his church. He will never leave his church. And that's a comforting thought. Amen. He will never leave you. And in fact, not only will he never leave you, he's always working for your good. Even if you can't see it, Paul says in Romans 8:28, God works all things for good for those who love God, who've been called according to his purpose. Those who belong to Jesus, God works all things for good, even all the bad things. And that's a comforting thought. So Paul's encouraging in his last part of the letter here, he's encouraging the church, walk with me, be strong in me. I will fight your battles for you. Yes, there is a strange tension between God is always fighting for us, yet we're called to fight as well. We're called to fight the good fight and spread the message of Jesus Christ. But again, realize, own the fact that your life will be a struggle. The sooner you accept that, the better your understanding of life will be, and you won't be so shaken by tribulations and persecutions. And they will come, and they're hard, and they'll come without warning. But we understand that God has a plan for this. Our faith won't be shaken. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The schemes. I think the King James says the wiles. The wiles. It's an old English word, I think. The wily, you know, the wily serpent, right? You know, sort of this cunning, crafty, beguiling sort of enemy we have. And it's the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, again, in our modern age, just the fact of mentioning there's spiritual beings out there. I mean, you might get some looks like, are you living in the dark ages? We've moved beyond that, right? This is 2017, right? But it's true. And the Bible makes very clear. In fact, Jesus makes very clear himself. There's a demonic world out there, spiritual forces that are intent on bringing the church down. So we have to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I was called for jury duty, not this past week, but the week before. Oh, anybody been called for jury duty? Oh my. Just pray really hard and bring books and things to do, right? iPads. And it was a long, sometimes it's really fast. You're out of there really fast. I was there for 2 days. And you don't know what kind of trial or case it is until you're one of the last few in the list who might be one of the jurors. So I was there for one day, and I think there were 160 possible jurors for this case, and it seemed like a big case, questionnaires, and then the next day I had to be called back, and I made it down to a pretty close cut, and we got into the courtroom, and then the lawyers from either side went around the room and interviewed each one of us in front of everybody, like asking us about our stance and what we think about the case. Anyway, it was a big murder case. And it was a big murder case, and I don't know if it's done now. I was the final cut before the final cut. I almost made it, but I'm glad I didn't because I would have been like it would have been into this week, and I don't really have time for that. But it was interesting though. It was the first time I'd done that, and it was a murder case, and we were not allowed at that time as potential jurors. We were not allowed to look up anything about the case. That's against the law. You can't once you find out that this is a murder case and you know the guy's name, you can't go on your phone and start searching for it. So I didn't do that until they let me go at the end, almost 8 o'clock the second day at night. They went through this whole process. I went home and looked on my phone, right? And the defense is trying to plead not guilty for reason of insanity. And I was like, oh gosh, one of these things, right? Typically you're like. And then I started reading about the case. I'm like, this guy sounds certifiably insane. He actually does. Some of them you're like, no, they're just playing. I probably would find the guy guilty, but I haven't. But again, I'm not on the jury. I haven't seen all the evidence. But it was a very. I look at that case, and I won't tell you what it was, but it was in Broward County. But I looked at it and I read about it. I was like, man, there's something about the demonic here because it was bizarre. Very, very bizarre. Something spiritually dark about it, because it was just beyond the normal. But of course, now here's the thing: if you call a witness to the stand for the judge, you say, you know what? I think demons were energizing this guy. Do you know the looks you'll get from the lawyers? And like throw that out. That is not real evidence. That is not. And so in the modern world, I'm just saying there are some cases, you know, where you're like, man, there it looks like. From the church's eyes, man, there's something demonic going on here. And there was the part of me like, man, as a pastor, I'm like, maybe that's why they didn't want me. They're like, we don't want a pastor on this, you know. Either side, I'm like, maybe because I'm a pastor, you know, one side's like, oh, he'll be like, it's a sin. The other side will be like, the prosecuting side will be like, oh, he likes to counsel these kind of people, so he might like them, you know. You know, I don't know. I don't know why they didn't want me, you know. I don't know, but I almost made it, but. But it was one of those cases. I was like, man, this is almost demonic. Some of the things that were happening that were just bizarre, almost otherworldly, and the guy almost claimed otherworldly stuff to. But you can't in the modern world. You can't say that. They'll look at you like, you know, everything is scientific and material. You can't say that stuff. But we as the church, we've got to realize there is a real spiritual world out there. There are real spiritual beings right now. And maybe trying to tempt some of us right now in our minds that we have to stand strong against, right? And they work in spiritual ways, and it's true. And we see demonic possession and all of that, right? You know, some of these crime cases, not just that one, some of them you read in the news, it is, you're like, man, if that's not demon possession, I don't know what is, right? It's very strange behavior. There are no drugs found in the system. They hear voices talking to them, and the voices are telling them that they're superhumans and all that. And this is just happening now. It's 2017, and then they come back too, and they're like they're normal, but there's no drugs involved. You know, it throws the investigators for a loop because they don't know how to process it. But there is we know there's the demonic possession in the New Testament, and Jesus throws out demons, but it's real. It is very real. So verse 11, you've got to say to yourself, this is real. This really happened. So I need to put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Don't turn everything to it's just psychological. It's a mental illness, which it may be, but not everything is psychological or mental illness. There's sin and there's Satan, and they're real, and they're real. But we don't have to fear because we have a God who's greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have nothing to fear. Because if you're a follower of Christ and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, a demon cannot possess someone who is a follower of Christ. How can a demon come into your life when you have God himself inside of you? Now, you can allow Satan to play with you if you're not focusing on God, but you cannot be possessed by a demon. That's impossible. So we don't have anything to fear. In fact, Satan has reason to fear us, not us alone, but Jesus, because Jesus lives in us. So, I mean, if Satan's bothering you and you feel like, man, this is spiritual warfare, you tell Satan to go play in the garbage, because Jesus is my king. He lives inside of me, and death and sin have no power over me, right? And so it's not because of your own strength. It's because of God's strength. Put on the whole armor of God. Next week, we'll look more specifically at this whole list of armory, right? These weapons and the breastplate and all that. We'll look at that more next week. But we have to realize that there's a battle going on here in our lives. And Satan's a schemer, right? That word, usually that when you hear that term scheme, right? Someone's a schemer. You know, if I say Leo is a schemer, right? You know, that's probably not, usually that's a negative connotation. He's such a schemer, you know? It's like the guy or the girl in like Miss Molina's class. When she turns her back, he's the one who's always, you know, scheming with the kids in class and, like, you know, throwing spit wads at people, and he's just conniving everything. You know, that's the schemer, right? He's always kind of deceitful, maybe a bully, which Satan is. But also, Satan's extremely smart. You know, he's strategic. He strategically knows and observes us where we can fall, and so we've got to be aware of our weaknesses and where we could give Satan a foothold if we hold on to sin and we don't confess it. We've got to believe in Jesus Christ. But again, if we go back to, everybody flip back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It's not on the screen. Just an encouragement, right? This is when Paul talks about when Jesus first saved us and the power that we have. Verse 19 of chapter 1 says, Paul says, "What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his great might." Verse 20, "that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead," keep reading, "and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Christ is far above," verse 21, "all rule and authority and power and dominion," and that's satanic as well, "and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." Look at verse 22. "And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So here's the great news. That resurrection power, that death to life, that's the greatest power we've seen, you know. This power that raised Jesus, put him above every ruler. God is saying through Paul, the immeasurable greatness of his power is now towards us. We have spiritually been resurrected from our sin and death. We are spiritually alive. Satan has no power over us. We have God living in us. We have that resurrection power from death to life within us. There's nothing else Satan can do to take us down. He can tempt us. We can fall into sin, but he will not destroy us. And so we have this resurrection power that God is working in us and through us, and that example is Jesus Christ. So remember that. You've been brought from death to life. Nothing can hold you down. Satan has no power over you. Zero. James says in the book of James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, Satan seems scary, right? Say, oh, there's a spiritual being out there. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will get sick of it, you know? He has no power over you. God is more powerful. God has a plan for you. God wants you to go live for him, and God will accomplish that. Satan has zero power over us. Again, if we're holding on to sin, of course that would give Satan a foothold, as other apostles say. He gets a foothold, you know, like you're giving him some license to toy with your mind. So that's why you need to confess sin and get it right. And so we have this spiritual power. Now, again, in some ways, work out practically this armor of God? Well, in some ways, it's very simple. It's just like when you work out with, you know, weights, right? And you try to bulk up or you run. Over time, it's not overnight, over time, you get built, you know, you get stronger. The same with Christians. You got to read your Bible, spiritual workout. You got to read your Bible every day. You got to know who God is. And over time, you get to appreciate God more, love him more. You got to pray every day. You got to rest in his power to us. You got to ask him for help, and he loves to give it every day, and you will grow, and this armor will grow stronger. Your spiritual muscle will grow stronger. You've come to church. You fellowship with other believers. We're able to encourage one another in our daily struggle. If you're having a tough time at the job this week, right, or at school, it's great to come to the church and be encouraged that you're not alone, that we're here fighting with you. We're praying for you, and God is working for you. That is awesome news, to know that people are praying for you. I remember, like, just this week, there was something I was praying about. I texted, like, three people. I said, hey, can you pray for me for this issue? And it's just a comforting thought to know that they're praying and that God's hearing it. That is putting on armor is when we pray and when we fight, right? That is God's work for us. So pray, read the Bible, fellowship in church, share the gospel. The more we're open to outsiders about what we believe in, that grows our confidence and courage. Even when they make fun of us or say, hey, you know, Christians are weird, we're saying, hey, look, Jesus loves you. He died for your sins, and there's a way back to God. And why don't you come to church with me? Check it out, you know? So just build up that armor, right? God works in us for his good pleasure while we work out our salvation. God's always working in us, but we also have a responsibility to work out our salvation. Put on the armor of God. Again, Satan is smart and cunning. So be aware. There is a battle. There is a mark on your back, so to speak, right? Satan couldn't stop Jesus. He thought he stopped Jesus when he put him to death. Joke was on him. Jesus resurrected, right? Satan has met his doom. He does not want you to grow in Christ. He will do everything he can to sow discord in the church, to sow gossip, to sow backstabbing. He will do everything he can to get you to feel guilty about your past life, even though Christ has saved you. He will get you to think prideful about your life. What a great Christian I am. He will do anything he can, whatever means he can, to take your eyes off Christ and to sow discord in the church so that we're not a good witness for him. Satan does not want to see more people come to Jesus. Whether you're classmates in college or your relatives, he does not want anyone to come to Christ's church. And so we got to be about the business of saying, hey, I want to see people come to salvation because they're going to be in eternity in hell. I want Jesus in people's lives, and I'm going to fight the good fight to make that happen. And God will help us, and God wants that. But we have to realize there is a schemer who's trying to take us down. We got to be aware of our weaknesses, aware of our sin. But God will help us if we pray and we discern where we're weak. Let's go to verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So right there, right? It's hard for the modern mind to jump over this verse. I mean, that is really talking about, I mean, it's fairly clear from the context, from the biblical record, that those are spiritual beings. And I'm not sure. I mean, it looks like maybe some kind of hierarchy, going on in the dark realms of Satan and his minions, right? These aren't little yellow minions running around, right? My kids like those yellow minions, right? These are bad minions. These are they hate God. There's nothing good about them. They're not into any kind of peace accord or anything with you. They are just complete hatred of God, and they're just pure evil. And they are trying their best to attack the church. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And think about it, this is true. Sometimes we forget this, but this is true, right? Let's say you're having a tough time at work, and you have a tough boss, an evil boss, right? So, you don't go into work and start body slamming the guy, right? You know, you're not like, I'm gonna shut you down. You may feel like it, right? You know, I'm gonna, you know, you're boom, boom, you know. We don't wrestle against flesh. That's not the way to wrestle. You know, you got a spiritual problem. This takes spiritual, you know, remedies. You know, and so we gotta pray. Maybe God wants me to move the job. Maybe God wants me to stay in this job and be a light where I can be. When we pray about it and share the gospel, right? We don't wrestle. Now, is there a time to go to war? Yeah, of course. There's just war. That's another issue, and that's not what Paul's talking about here. But we don't wrestle, you know. I don't like when my kids, my family were fighting, I don't throw a wrestling mat down in my house and say, all right, let's go. All right. You lied to me, so we're gonna just go 10 rounds, you know, my kids, you know, and we're just gonna wrestle, and whoever wins is the victor. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? Elijah might like that. He's like, yes, let's wrestle. All right. He probably prefer that than being grounded in his room all day, right? But we don't wrestle. We got to realize, we got to put the spiritual eyes on. There's something deeper here. There's people's hearts and souls caught up in a spiritual battle. And there's this cosmic gangster, right? Yeah, look at this cosmic gangster who just wants to, with his gang, sow evil in the world, right? And we have to be aware of that. But again, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? There is absolutely nothing Satan can do to the believers to make us fall away from Christ. In fact, God will purposely send Satan to get us to grow closer to him, to trust in him, and Satan is always on God's leash. God has a plan for all of it, and it's always good. I don't understand all of it sometimes, but it's always good. So we got to realize we're in a war, a good war. We run the race, we fight the fight until we meet Jesus face to face. And I look forward. Now, here's a word of warning now. If you're not a Christian, you're just fair game for Satan because you have no protection. You have no protection from Satan to do whatever he wants with you. You cannot fight Satan. He's much more stronger than you, much stronger than you. You have no protection on your own, and you're a sitting duck for him. In fact, Christians also, if you're loosey-goosey with your Christian life, you're not really growing, you're not really trying to serve God, you're also in a dangerous spot because Satan will try to wreak havoc with you. So pursue Christ and the things of God. Pursue him. And this is biblical too, because remember in Acts, the seven sons of Sceva, they thought they could cast out a demon out of this guy, right? Look in the book of Acts, right? They were like, hey, let's go. I think they were seven sons of a Jewish guy. This is pretty cool what Paul's doing. He's casting out demons. And in fact, so much so that the magicians and everybody, the people who were making the idols, were getting ticked off because they were taking away business. The Christians were taking away business from these demonic people, right? And so these seven sons of Sceva, they don't know Jesus as their Savior. They don't believe in him, so they try to throw out the demon. The demon says, I know who Jesus is. I know who Paul is, but who in the world are you? And he beats the living snot out of them, and they run down the street naked, seven guys overpowered by one guy. You don't mess with Satan if you don't know Christ as your Savior. That's why we have to have God in us, believing that he is our Savior and that he's our Lord. And it's a serious fight, a serious fight. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? And I even think some of these things, like we're seeing the past couple weeks, like, you know, the neo-Nazis and these hate groups on either side, hate groups wherever they are, just the philosophies that are evil against Christ. You know, in a sense, these are energized by Satan. They're energized. Of course, it comes from the sinful heart of man, but they're also energized by Satan. Satan loves this. He loves to see people just destroying each other. Remember, Satan's strong, but we have a stronger God. Verse 13. Therefore, since we wrestle against flesh and not against flesh and blood, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. So take up the whole armor of God, Christ himself, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And right now, we're in the evil day. The evil day is happening until Jesus comes back. We're in the evil day. Every day is evil. And yet God is also working his great redemption, saving people from their sins, so that we may be able to withstand. And the good news is there's hope here. If we're Christians, we're standing firm in Christ, we'll be able to stand. We'll be able to stand firm in Christ and who he is. There'll be times we'll fall. We all do. We sin. Thanks to the Lord, he's already forgiven us of our sin. We get back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry I messed up there. I'm going to follow you, right? And we got to be sure. Here's the foundation. We got to be sure about our identity in Christ. Because again, we have no protection if we're not in Christ. Jesus himself is one with us if we believe in him for our salvation. He's our Savior and Lord. He's one with us. So whatever happens, Jesus is with me. He's for me, right? And there's a tension here, right? Again, let's remember this. There's a tension. In one sense, I've already been given all the armor I need before Christ because he's given me his righteousness. I believe in him. That's called my positional standing before God. I am completely righteous before God. If I die right now, I'm in heaven. On the other hand, we still live in this life, and there's now what we call this progressive sanctification. We walk with God. I'm already saved, but now I actually have to put on the armor myself. God's given us his armor in one sense, positionally before Christ. In the other sense, every day I get up, I need to say, I'm going to put on the armor of God, and I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to serve him. So there's this beautiful tension here where God wants and desires us to go out with action and fight the good fight. But the good news is that he's given it all to us. It's already there. We just need to take advantage of it. Pray for God to help us as we fight the good fight. And some pastor said this, and I think this is really good, right? We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. The victory has already been won. We're not fighting. I don't know if Jesus will win. I don't know. I better fight for him. No, Jesus has already won. Therefore, I fight. And that's a really good news because the battle's already been won. We just need to go out and bring more people into the kingdom of God. We can't do it, but God can, all right? So, again, for us, the church, there's a bad philosophy out there that says, let go and let God. And there's a bad way you can take that. It sounds good, but if you let go and let God, sometimes you let down your guard. You're just like, I'm a Christian, leave everything to him, and you just go on your merry way. But there's no proactiveness, there's no initiative that God calls us to live a life that is glorifying to God, to pray and to share the gospel and to build people up and to encourage one another. That's what God calls us to do. That's what fighting the good fight is. So let us go forward. Let us go forward with our armor on. Be resolute. Be courageous. People are going to hate us. People are not going to be nice to us. That's okay. Show the love of Jesus to the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us your armor all through Jesus, Lord. That God, he has given us his righteousness. We don't deserve that. God, you could have left all of humanity to our own sin, our own hatred of you. You could have just left us go. You had your right to do that. But you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for sinners. And that you say, whoever believes that I've died for your sins, I've forgiven your sins, I've given you my righteousness, you say that, Lord, that we'll be forgiven and saved for eternity, for eternal life. And we know that's true because you've resurrected from the dead. You have power over death, and you give us that power as Christ followers. And we thank you for that, Lord. So help us live in that resurrection power. Give us your strength. Give us your boldness and courage to stand for you, Lord. There's so much darkness in this world, Lord. We look all around, and we see what's going on in society. We see what's going around in our homes and all around at school. Lord, help us be a light. And determine in our hearts, I want to share the gospel. I want to be a light to people. I want to pray for people. I want to see more people come into the kingdom of God because he's already won. And that's the great fact, Lord. If anyone here, God, does not know you as Savior, I pray that they would just give their lives to you today in faith that you've died for their sins, you've forgiven them, and that you're the Savior of the world, Lord, that they would give their lives to you and place their faith and trust in your hands, Lord. We love you in your son's name we pray. Amen.